Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to episode 185.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company, powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Now, this episode is brought to you by Attentive. Now, how do most innovative companies reach consumers? Well, meet Attentive, the text message solution trusted by innovative retailers and e-commerce brands like CB2, Coach, and thousands of Shopify brands. Now, on average, Attentive customers see a 25x ROI and an 18.5% of their online revenue is driven by SMS, so it's very compelling. You can grow your SMS list fast and engage with high-value mobile subscribers with personalized messages that exceed your performance marketing goals. Now, getting started is super easy. Attentive's best-in-class SMS marketing experts will help you quickly launch and scale your SMS program. Now, are you ready for SMS to become one of your top three revenue channels? You can learn more how to get started with your free trial by requesting a demo at attentivemobile.com. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, this is your first time listening. This is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are, if you're listening here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. I think we're up to 186, 87 episodes. So you can actually go directly to ecommercefastlane.com. There's a lot of partners in the Shopify ecosystem, a lot of offers and stuff. So I implore you to go check that out. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Sean DeClercq, who's the CEO and co-founder of a company you may not heard of, but they're called Kick Further, and they're at kickfurther.com. And they're an inventory funding platform, and what they do is they help growing Shopify brands to scale faster. And they do this by funding inventory that brands like you need to meet a couple things, the demand and overcome the cash flow pinch that can happen with new inventory orders. And, you know, that can cause a lot of stress and some probability may not even happen sometimes. And this is a little bit of an alternative funding option, maybe outside of your bank or other different options. Very, very, very popular. And it's a growing way to help brands. And I'm excited to learn a lot about this because this is a very creative opportunity for Shopify brands right now, kind of just moving into Q4. This is a perfect time to have Sean on the show. So welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for the invite. It's great to be here today.
My pleasure. So I mentioned a bit at the top of the show, but it's always great to hear it in the founder's kind of own words and kind of what you're building and just kind of your history around all of this. So let's talk first on a high level about Kick Further, the platform, and exactly what you're attempting to do and solving a lot for Shopify store owners.
Yeah. So as you mentioned earlier, what we provide is inventory funding for growing product businesses. And what we do and what we know, and like if any of your listeners are familiar with Shoe Dog and Phil Knight, the story of Nike, he talks extensively about how even though he's growing 100% a year, inventory finance was just a constant pinch for his business. And he constantly had to renegotiate with his banks and, you know, get them to keep raising his limits because it's just this monster where you know, every single product business has to deal with this, where you have to pay your factory to make your stuff before you can get it and you can start making money by selling it. And so what we've developed is the Kick Further platform is a marketplace where product businesses can come to us and they can have our community of funders will buy their inventory at cost and place it on consignment with the business. So as they sell through the inventory, they pay our community of users back, the funders back over time.
Right. Yeah, it's very unique. It kind of reminds me of the fact that there's people with money as part of the whole community. And it's interesting how it's almost like a Kickstarter campaign. I mean, that's probably where the name even came. I was kind of wondering about that, about you're either a soccer fan or this is kind of a spin off of maybe Kickstarter. Maybe let's talk about that. Where did the name come from first?
Yeah, that's really funny. So the name originally, when we first went into an accelerator, was WeBuy.com, because the idea was, hey, anybody could buy inventory. So it's not just a company, but it's WeBuy. But it was spelled O-U-I, like the French we, and then B-Y. And so it was just like terrible branding. We got into the accelerator. The managing director is like, what are you trying to do here? Like, you're never going to get launched with this kind of name. Nobody's going to be able to like say it or communicate how to find you. So he was like, you need to figure something else out. And so within weeks of getting into the accelerator, he was like, look, your whole point is that this is kind of like crowdfunding. Why don't you look at kind of leveraging some of the existing cultural norms that exist out there, right? And you can bite on that a little bit. And when you're super early, that's a good way of getting a bit of early lift. And also communicating very clearly and succinctly, like, hey, you had Kickstarter, and now you want to kick further. And since then, the product has developed quite a lot, and things have changed. And so we've kind of like kicked around the idea of a rebrand, but our users like it. And, you know, the team likes it. So we've kind of just kept it.
Yeah, no, I love it. No, it's really cool. It's a very unique name. So now that actually puts two and two together of kind of where the name came from. But let's pivot a bit over about your journey, because I'm always fascinated why founders build what they build, and like where the expertise and the desire to build a platform like this. So I'd love to unpack that a bit and share with the audience, because it's just nice to be warm and fuzzy and saying, hey, these founders made these choices in their careers, and now here they are with this platform really impacting a lot of Shopify brands. So maybe you can walk through maybe your personal background leading up to the launch of Kickfurther.
Yeah, absolutely. So my family ran a supply chain management company. So they had an office in Beijing, China, with like 30 people, essentially helping businesses improve margins by outsourcing their manufacturer, typically to China. And so that was my background. I learned all about supply chain management from when I was 18 years old, actually younger. But as I worked within supply chain management and with my parents' company, I kind of identified for myself that there was a better opportunity if I could move a little bit further up and I could start selling to retailers directly. I could go from earning, you know, about like 10% commission for helping a business run their supply chain, and I could make 30% margin selling wholesale to retail clients here in the US. So I started this merchandising business, leveraging my supply chain knowledge, working with factories that I had relationships with and retailers here in the US, selling some, you know, stuff that like I wouldn't consider super cool, but, you know, it paid the bills. So the business grew. We were doing things like telephones with really big numbers on them so people could read them from far away, or like 36-inch tall fiber optic Christmas trees that would spin. And at a certain point in that business, I got this huge order, 7 container loads of these fiber optic Christmas trees. It was about $250,000 in one order. And I remember thinking, okay, wow, this is great, but how do I pay my factory? I had to come up with $70,000 just to put the deposit down, and then another like $100,000 when the inventory was ready to ship. And I just didn't have that kind of cash flow for my business. And I didn't have that cash available. And it was this interesting moment where you had this like the biggest opportunity I'd ever had for my business, at the same time as I had no way of capturing that opportunity because I didn't have the cash or the funding or the network that could provide the funding. And so I went out to market. We looked at a bunch of different options, and the best I could find was an AR factoring company that was offering me a 5% discount per month to fund the PO finance, to provide the PO finance. And that meant I would be paying about 15% for 90 days of finance, which took my business from being profitable on every single deal and every order we ran with a 30% margin to pretty much losing money every single time we had to finance a deal. And so I remember thinking at that point, this just doesn't seem to be that efficient. And you would go to these vendor conferences, you'd talk to other businesses, and every single person just had a different solution for how they were dealing with inventory finance, right? It was Rich Uncle Joe, or, you know, I put it on my credit credit card, or I remortgaged my house, you know, like everybody was doing crazy things. And it was like, wow, everybody has the same problem and everybody has a different solution. It seems like there's a big opportunity there. And so that was kind of like the inception of what got us on this path to start Kick Further and to create a marketplace where businesses could really control their financial future and they could control the relationships with potentially hundreds of funders, as opposed to just trying to get a deal done with one or two, you know?
Right. The whole cash flow thing that you mentioned is interesting because I deal with a lot of brands. You know, I work for Shopify and I'm part of the Plus organization. So these are more the mid-market to enterprise brands. But, you know, I even have a team member, for example, it just kind of makes me think right now. They have a Pots for Plants kind of a website. They're doing quite well. But I remember talking to her even recently and she's made a comment saying, you know what, part of the problem is exactly asking Uncle Joe and trying to find these creative financing opportunities, because she's got some pretty large orders that have come in. She's gone to a couple different trade shows, a couple kind of local pop-ups and things like that. And all of a sudden, yeah, I'd like to have 1,000 of those. And then she's like, this is fantastic. And I know where to get them. But the problem is I just can't fund the money up front for manufacturing. And then not to mention the lead time to her from her wholesaler, from her actual supplier, and then on to the customer, right? Is this a pretty standard kind of frustration that you believe is kind of happening in the marketplace right now?
Yeah, I think it's, I would say, actually typical. Pretty much every single product entrepreneur we work with, that it's really frustrating because it's whenever you have success, right? You don't notice the problem when you're kind of just like trucking along and things are growing 5% a month. But it's when you've hit that vein and you're like, oh my God, this is how I grow my company 5x in the next 3 years. But then you're like, wait, but now I can't because I don't have the finance, right? So it's a really frustrating moment because it's like this clip of bad news that often comes like right on the heels of really good news, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny, even expanding out, I could see into other, and I talk about this a lot with brands I manage, saying, hey, have you thought about maybe breaking out into complementary products in your vertical just to kind of expand your revenue or your lifetime value? And they think about a certain SKU, but sometimes they just, yeah, we found a great product and we're pretty sure we want to add it on to our product mix. But once again, it comes down to trying to get approval through the organization to saying, hey, yes, let's try it. And then where does the money come from to do that versus what Kick Further is doing, saying, hey, why not have the marketing team saying, hey, we believe we want to add this SKU on to enhance our selection of product. And we're going to get a separate little campaign. And it's an experiment to go and buy this product, have Kick Further fund it. And then you get that stock in. I think it's a really interesting business model. I think a lot of people listening today, you really got to think clearly that maybe there's an opportunity here. If you're looking to expand, but you just don't have the cash flow to do it, Kick Further could be a great opportunity for you.
Yeah. And the other thing I would add, Steve, is one of the things we do really well is the brands you work with, they've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash in the form of inventory sitting on shelves, right? So one of the things that Kick Further can do really well is we can buy that inventory from them at cost, convert it back into cash for them so that they can reallocate that cash into whatever needs they have. So it's a really flexible solution because it works with the key asset that your community, you know, has access to, which is inventory.
That's very cool. I never thought about it. So the other way around. So it's almost like overstock or having other inventories that aren't moving and you want to convert that into cash. There's some opportunity to have it available into the marketplace that could be then resold into other opportunities and channels through the internet.
Yeah, but not so sorry, not like liquidation, but like really it's the SKUs that are selling, right? We look at sales velocity, but the idea is you have these SKUs, maybe you've got 3 months of inventory on your shelves right now, right? Because you just got an order in from your supplier, you learn about Kick Further and you need access to finance, but you're not planning on placing an order with your supplier for another, let's say 3 months, right? So you could come to Kick Further, we could fund that inventory at cost, get the cash you need to, let's say, potentially spend on Shopify advertising campaigns to reach more customers, right? And move the inventory faster. Because the other thing that I know your community is sensitive to is that if you can turn your inventory more quickly, right, your business looks a lot stronger from the point of view of all these aggregators and other businesses that are out there. So we can unlock financing that essentially provides flexibility for entrepreneurs to grow their businesses the way they see fit.
So one thing I want to talk about too is about funding options in general, because, you know, for direct to consumer, these digitally native brands that are out there, I think there's quite a bit of options available for these scaling brands. You know, if you do a simple Google search or just go to the Shopify app store, I'm sure it's going to reveal some notable peers. And so How do you believe KickFurther has been, I guess, intentional, so to speak, I guess, to differentiate from others in the Shopify ecosystem that are offering funding?
That's a great question, Steve. So I think one of the very interesting things and durable strategic differences between KickFurther and every other person is KickFurther is truly not a lender. So it's not our funds that we're lending to you and to the entrepreneurs that are funding their inventory. We run a marketplace. And so our goal as an organization is to create a marketplace that is fair. It treats the participants fairly. And we do the best when all participants in the marketplace have the best possible experience. And if you compare that to any balance sheet lender, there's just this fundamental incentive mismatch where balance sheet lenders make the most money when they can extract the highest fees or interest or rates out of the businesses they lend to. Whereas KickFurther, fundamentally, we do the best. We have the best customer stickiness. We have the best customer experience for the brands we work with, right? When businesses achieve the lowest possible rates that they can achieve on our platform. So we're just fundamentally, with our model, we're more aligned with the entrepreneurs that we work with. And what that looks like on the platform is it translates into more funding flexibility, where we can provide inventory for funding that is specific to a SKU, where payments don't start because it's consignment until that SKU starts to sell. Whereas a lot of daily debit providers, for instance, get a lien across all assets and payments start the day after out of any revenue you earn, payments start the day after you do a deal with them. And there's other elements of flexibility like that. We also give our users the ability to communicate to their funders directly and build out a relationship over time. So what we've seen is we've had tremendous businesses that have started on KickFurther at 1.5% profit per month that over the course of 30 or 40 deals, they're able to fund under 1% a month for their inventory cost. And that's the kind of thing, that scalability on the platform where you can kind of control your own relationship based on the merits of your business and how you perform and communicate and how you manage your relationship with our community. We put a lot more of that control in the business owner's hands, which I think a lot of them appreciate.
Yeah. And what's interesting too is when you talk about the two sides of the marketplace, because there is the traditional lenders, Shopify Capital and other different kind of partners out there, even your own bank and stuff like that. But I'm just thinking now about the other side, like because it's a community base and it's not quote unquote KickFurther is not actually lending you the money. It's the community of people that are on the platform that are, I guess, are looking to earn some passive income with the fact that they have funds available and they want to put it into the platform to then fund these opportunities. So for those listening today, I mean, you are likely an e-commerce entrepreneur, but then on the flip side, there could be those listening today that are like, hey, wait a second here. Is there a way of earning some passive income because I have a little bit of cash, but I'm just not sure of what the best-selling products or what the needs are of the direct-to-consumer marketplace? Is that something that we should share today that, hey, there is this opportunity to get more people onto your platform, more to offer funds to those in need?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it as both a great opportunity to earn consignment profit alongside growing product brands. But I have also seen that there are a lot of our users that treat this as an education opportunity, right? People that are like, hey, maybe I want to start a product brand. Maybe this is something I'm interested in. So maybe I can just kind of follow along the stories for a few of these people that are doing it today. I can see their updates and I can learn a little bit and participate in their journeys without having to go whole hog and start my own company, right? And kind of like dip my toes in the water a little bit. So I see both sides. I think it is also a great opportunity. And as a marketplace, of course, we need to have vibrant growth on both sides of the marketplace to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, love it, love, love it. So Sean, you know, one thing we all love, and I know you do too, and especially as entrepreneurs, we love stories. And I think as marketers, I think it's part of this education and the inspiration of others, I think that can really help motivate a lot of change in all of us. And I don't want to put you on the spot here, but are you able to share maybe a recent journey of a Shopify brand that's actively using KickFurther and kind of what's happened with their journey so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had this great company that came to us. I think their first deal was a couple of years ago called Access Gear. And Axis Gear has an Internet of Things, like a smart window shade that puts your window shades up and down for you. And they had this, you know, kind of like the typical story that I shared earlier, where they're growing their business, kind of chugging along for a while, got this incredible opportunity, got on Dragon's Den in Canada. Everything just started rocketing up for them. And their current funding options, whether I don't actually remember whether they were funding off of cash or a credit card or exactly what the deal was prior to Kickfurther, but whatever it was, it couldn't keep pace with the level of demand they started to see reflected on their website. And so they found Kickfurther. We were able to provide $200,000 of inventory funding on their first deal on our platform. After they closed their first deal, we funded another deal with them in the middle of the pandemic in 2020 for about $115,000. And then on the completion of that deal, we just closed this week their third deal. So now we funded over $500,000 of inventory for Axis Gear in a little over 2 years and have provided a large share of the inventory funding that they've needed to succeed. And particularly in those moments where they have these really high demand moments and events.
Very cool. Thanks for sharing that. Let's talk about Q4 right now, because I think that's important for people. The feeling on the street right now I have with the brands I manage and just going to social right now, people are saying, you know, start early, get going on it now. The pandemic is certainly not going away. This Delta variant, lots of issues going on. So e-commerce is not slowing down, but also there's the supply chain kind of problem. But the flip side, brands need to figure out what their promotional opportunities are going to be and what stock they're going to carry. So I would love to hear your side, because you're kind of front lines with a lot of real progressive brands that are doing really well. So what are you recommending today for Shopify brands to do today, literally, to prepare kind of for this inevitable rush that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's super interesting, Steve. So what I've been seeing is that there are huge delays and significantly increased costs this year. So it's almost across the board where the cost to ship is going up and is getting delayed. So I would recommend that any brands that are looking at this now, it should be the most urgent thing on your list. If you're not looking, if you don't know where your inventory is going to be for Q4, that should be the number one item on your priority list right now. Because if you stock out in Q4, you're just not going to get those sales, right? They don't come back for months. And then things are going to shut down in February. Chinese New Year is going to shut everything down in February. So it's just not going to loosen up anytime soon. That's kind of the way it seems to me, is that there is a huge rush of demand. It's going to keep up for the foreseeable future. And so getting ahead of it and making that a top priority, I think, is really important today.
Interesting about the whole forecasting model, because I think that's a really interesting challenge that people try to figure out. And there are different tools and things that can talk about seasonality, the velocity of sales of certain items and certain verticals. Is there anything that you're recommending brands to saying, hey, here's my order history. Let's suppose they're not a seasonal company. So they just, you know, they're year round selling the same types of products. Is there anything you're thinking about right now of how brands could maybe understand their inventory further, so they're making some better educated guesses of where they believe demand is going to be for their product?
Man, Steve, with the way the world is today, it is such a hard question. You know what I mean? Like, I like trying to look even 6 months into the future, things are just so blurry right now. From where I'm sitting, I would say for the type of company you're describing that has like a nice steady product that kind of sells year round, maybe they see a little bit of seasonality. My view on this is that those businesses, even if we have another lockdown and you're selling e-commerce, right? You're a Shopify brand. The lockdowns were good for e-commerce brands, right? So I would expect if it goes through another lockdown, you're going to see an increase in demand again. I would expect to see that. If we're not going to go through another lockdown, I expect that things are going to shift away from e-commerce as people go and take vacations and go back to bars and go to movies and stuff because they've been missing it. But that won't last, right? It'll be a temporary dip and then everything will come back after things normalize. And so I think if I were in a brand's shoes today, I would hedge my bet and get more inventory now, stock up a bit more, because that way, if it goes into lockdown and we have supply chain disruptions, I've got what I need to meet the increased demand of going through another lockdown. And if it doesn't, then I have the inventory I need to deal with what will still be supply chain disruptions if the world opens up. And then maybe I just sit on the inventory for a little bit longer because I do think that demand will come back after like people get the tourism bug out of them, you know?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of a really neat little tool that's out there, too, that people may not know about. It's called Inventory Planner. I think it's inventory-planner.com. But it's an interesting little tool that really helps you understand and forecast, creates purchase orders and kind of optimizing your stock and all this kind of thing. And I think there's like a free option to go and download it. But go to just try it. Because for those that are just not sure where they're headed, but they know that they want to hedge their bets, exactly what you said about potential lockdown and just the demand for e-commerce is not going away. And I mean, even though this tool does take care of some of the seasonality of some SKUs. If you're a non-seasonal product, year-round, you can sell the same kind of product or a range of products. You might want to think about, you know, is there a machine learning kind of AI tool instead of using spreadsheets to really help you figure out what your demand likely is going to be based on a lot of different variables. So inventory-planner.com might be helpful for you to figure that out. And then from there, it's like, okay, that's where the tool is teaching me or telling me where I need to be or where I need to go. Then come back to the Kickfurther platform and saying, hey, this is the demand where I think I'm headed. Do I have any funding opportunities here for these great selling SKUs for me? This is where I think it's headed. And then boom, your platform can kick in and help them. So
yeah, that's great, Steve. And you know, one of the things I love about, I don't know if the one that you described does it specifically, but a lot of these inventory forecasting tools force you to input your marketing and growth assumptions, and then it records it for you. So then you can go back and reference it and say, oh, wow, our Google ads didn't do quite as well as I thought they did, or my Shopify ads just crushed it, right? I need to add a lot more capital into that channel, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So let's talk about the future for Kickfurther. I mean, obviously you're going down your journey, but I just would love to understand more about the North Star, I guess, for the remainder of 21. And just end of the day, how do you believe you're going to continue to offer funding options for these growing Shopify brands?
So I think our view and our vision on this, Steve, is we want to be the marketplace where inventory is funded for product businesses. So what we're driving towards today, we have a 100% free option. So the Kickfurther platform costs businesses $0 to apply, and we only have a 5% funding success fee if they are successfully funded on the platform. So I'm really, really excited that we are, and this is kind of like you're hearing it here first, we are going to be deploying a subscription model where businesses that are funding, it kind of breaks even at around $1 million of inventory funding per year. If you're looking at funding more than $1 million of inventory per year, we have a subscription model where you essentially just pay to access the marketplace directly. And we use that to completely abrogate the 5% funding success fee, which makes our funding much more accessible to businesses that have wholesale channels and are looking for 30 or 60 days of inventory funding, where the flat 5% fee ends up being quite expensive on an annualized basis for those short deals.
Yeah, this is lovely. That's great. I'll make sure I put all that in the show notes. I think it's fantastic. Now, we are nearing the end of the show for today, but are there any insights or any takeaways? Because you shared a lot today, but just would love if you could kind of summarize it or a TLDR. Or like, what do you want to leave with our listeners today?
You know, what I'd like to leave with your listeners, Steve, is that we love product entrepreneurs at Kickfurther. We think that they're really the backbone of the US economy, the global economy, and we are so proud that we have the opportunity to support them. We're really excited about it. We have the only inventory funding marketplace. So if you are a product entrepreneur and you want to find the best and last funding solution you'll ever need for your product business, please come check out kickfurther.com and see how we are different from everyone else.
Beautiful. And we did speak offline before recording today and understand that you would like to share an offer for those listening.
Yeah, Steve. So with this exciting deployment of the Kickfurther Pro model, I have a very special offer where we are offering for the first 20 customers that sign up 50% off the Kickfurther Pro subscription for life. And so we're really kind of have this like super early bird special. We're piloting this out with a few of our portfolio companies, but I wanted to put the offer in front of your community as well. Thank you so much for helping me get the word out, Steve.
Absolutely. Well, what I'll do is I'll have ecommercefastlane.com/kickfurther. That's going to redirect to your landing page, and then that'll be kind of a lead capture for you, and just to share the opportunity that, hey, for the first 20 customers that are needing inventory and you want to use the community funds that are available to help fuel this engine of getting more stock, 50% off for the first 20 customers is like a fantastic deal. And I just wanted to thank you for offering that. And so those listening today, like, you know, have a look, kickfurther.com, check out that landing page. And just once again, Sean, thank you very much for coming on the show. I know we're recording on Saturday. We're definitely got our side hustle going on here. I think we have to do that sort of thing. That's just kind of the way the world is right now. And I appreciate your hustle too. I wanted to get this information out into the wild. Perfect timing. And I believe you really are in tight alignment with wanting to help Shopify brands. And so I wanted to thank you for coming on the show today.
Steve, thank you so much. I really appreciate the flexibility. Thank you for carving out time on a Saturday. And thank you for helping us get the word out to your community.
All right. Have yourself a great day.
You too. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Now, this episode was brought to you by Attentive, a personalized text message solution trusted by innovative brands like CB2, Coach, and thousands of Shopify brands. Now, as I mentioned, on average, Attentive customers see a 25x ROI, and over 18% of their online revenue is driven by SMS. Now, are you ready for SMS to become one of your top revenue channels? You can learn more how to get started and get your free trial by requesting a demo at attentivemobile.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.